Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Ishut Perek Chet. We mentioned in the last perek the concept of ta'ut, a mistaken assumption by one of the parties to an act of kiddushin, which can render the entire kiddushin a mekach ta'ut, a transaction made in error, and therefore null and void. Our perek lists a variety of cases in which one side says something potentially misleading in order to entice the other to agree to the kiddushin. This enticement is built into the kiddushin itself through the phrase almanat, which we encountered already in perek vav as one possible formulation of a tanai. What is the relationship between ta'ut and tanai? We'll touch very briefly on this deep question. Our perek describes the parameters of when a ta'ut completely undermines a kiddushin and when it does not. Halacha Aleph. Ha'omer li'isha, hariat mikudeshet li b'chos ze shel yayin, v'nimitza shel dvash, v'nimitza shel yayin, b'dinar ze shel kesef, v'nimitza shel zahav, v'nimitza shel kesef, amanat shani kohen, v'nimitza levi, levi, v'nimitza kohen, natin, v'nimitza mamzer, mamzer, v'nimitza natin, Ben Ir, v'nimitza ben krach, ben krach, v'nimitza ben ir. Amanat shani ani, v'nimitza ashir, ashir, v'nimitza ani. Amanat shebeiti karov la merchatz, v'nimitza rachok, rachok, v'nimitza karov. Amanat sheyesh li bat, o shivcha, godelet o ofa, ve'en lo. Amanat she'en li, v'yesh lo. Amanat sheyesh li isha uvanim, ve'en lo. Amanat she'en li, v'yesh lo. B'chol elu v'adome lehen, inam mikudeshet, v'chein hi shehitato. We list most of the cases in this halacha, and then we explain the common din in all of them. If a man is mekadesh a woman with a cup of liquid, which he tells her is wine, but it turns out to be honey, or the reverse. If he is mekadesh her with a coin, which he says is a dinar of gold, but it turns out to be a dinar of silver, or the reverse. If he claims at the time of the kiddushin to be a kohen, but turns out to be a levi, or the reverse. If he claims to live in a krach, but turns out to live in an ear, or the reverse. The terms krach and ir here don't mean what they mean in Hilchot Megillah, a city which is walled or unwalled, per se, but rather refer to cities with different degrees of bustle and crowdedness. A krach is more crowded than an ir. If he claims to be rich, but he is really poor, or the reverse. If he claims that his home is near the local bathhouse, but it is really far, or the reverse. If he claims to have a daughter or servant who can do skilled work like braiding hair or baking, but he really doesn't, or the reverse. If he claims to have a wife and children, but really doesn't, or the reverse. In all of these and similar cases, the woman is not mikudeshet, due to the ta'ut, and similarly, if she misleads him in any of these matters. The Nosei Kelim on the Shulchan Aruch explain that in all of these cases, there is some reason why the misled party would be makbid on the matter on which it was misled. For example, some people want to live in a krach, or near a bathhouse, because of the convenience, while others want to live in an ir, or far from a bathhouse, in order to avoid crowds. Some prefer to have a wealthy spouse for financial security. Others prefer a less well-off spouse who is accustomed to a simple life without luxuries. But if the condition stated by the misleading side is one which there is no legitimate reason to be makbid on in one direction or the other, then we do not view the transaction as a mekach ta'ut, and the woman is mikudeshet. Halacha bet. Uvechulam, afa pi shamra, bili bi hayalit kadesh lo, afa pi shiit ani, vein hadavar kmo shamar, v'cheni mamar hu, bili bi hayalit kadsha, afa pi shiit atni, Einan mikudeshet, dvarim shabalev, einan dvarim. This halacha lays down a very important principle. In all the examples from halacha aleph, as we explained, there is a reason to be makbid in one direction or in the other. So when the misleading side explicates that the kiddushin is being carried out with such and such assumption, and the assumption turns out to be wrong, the kiddushin are invalid, even if the other side insists that it was not makbid and had in mind to go through with the kiddushin, even if in fact it was being misled. If one side truly isn't makbid about a condition stated explicitly by the other side, this lack of hakpada itself also needs to be made explicit, as it is otherwise considered dvarim shebalev, matters of the heart, which cannot be taken into account due to the principle of dvarim shebalev einam dvarim. Clearly, if it is made explicit, like if the man says, Hariat mikudeshet li almenat shani ashir, that I am rich, and she says, before receiving the kiddushin, I agree to be mikudeshet to you, even if you aren't an ashir, then the kiddushin is valid, even if he is in fact very poor. Before proceeding any further, we devote a moment to clarify the relationship between the cases in this perek and the concept of tnai. The Rambam seems to consider this perek to be a natural continuation of the last two prakim about tanaim. He discussed the formulation of almanat at the end of perek vav, and all the cases in this perek, along with several in the last perek, deal with cases of a tanai phrased as almanat, like the long list we just read in Halacha Aleph. But as we explained in the last perek, and at the start of this perek, the concept at work here is that of ta'ut, a mistake which can undermine the agreement of one side to the entire transaction. Many Rishonim believe that ta'ut has nothing to do with tanai. A tanai is a milta achriti, an external stipulation, as we explained in perek vav, like if you give me 20 zuz, if my father agrees to the marriage, etc. While ta'ut relates to the fundamental assumptions which underlie a transaction. These assumptions don't need to be cemented in place with a tanai kaful and the other formalities of the mishpatei ha'tanaim from perek vav. In contrast, from the flow of this and the last two prakim, I believe that the Rambam views ta'ut as one example of the general mechanism of tanai. It's true that an assumption can become a critical part of the Kiddushin even without the Tanai Kafel. In all these cases we just read in Halacha Aleph, the absence of the condition, being a Kohen or being wealthy, living in a Krach or in a near bathhouse, etc., nullifies the Kiddushin even though the condition was not cemented in place with a Tanai Kafel. But for the Rambam, this isn't due to a fundamental distinction between these cases and regular Tanayim, but rather to something much more basic. Any Tanai formulated as almanat, like all the ones here, don't require a tanai kaful, because they take effect retroactively. That's what we saw the Rambam said at the end of Perek Vav. And recall from there in Perek Vav that the Shulchan Aruch quotes other Rishonim who disagree and believe that even a tanai of almanat requires all of the mishpatei tanaim. These Rishonim would certainly have to distinguish fundamentally between the cases of ta'ut in our Perek, where there is no tanai kaful, and regular tanaim. Halacha Gimel. Hareyat mekudeshet li almanat shani basam, v'nimitza basam ubursi, almanat shani ben ir, v'nimitza ben ir uven krach, almanat sheshmi Yosef, v'nimitza shmo Yosef v'shimon, harey zu mekudeshet. Aval ima marla, almanat she'ein shmi ela Yosef, v'nimitza shmo Yosef v'shimon, she'eini ela basam, v'nimitza basam ubursi, she'eini ela ben ir, v'nimitza ben krach uven ir, ein zo mekudeshet. If the man claims at the time of the Kiddushin to be a spice merchant, and he turns out to be both a spice merchant and a tanner, one who deals with spices comes home with a fragrant smell, and a tanner can carry a terrible stench. If he claims to live in an ir and turns out to have two residences, one in an ir and one in a krach. If he claims to have the name Yosef and turns out to have two names, Yosef and Shimon. In all these cases, the woman is mekudeshet, because the man's claim was true, even if it wasn't the entire story. But if in these cases, he had claimed to be only a spice merchant, to live only in an ir, and to have only the name Yosef, then this is considered kiddushei ta'ut, and the woman is not mekudeshet. The next few cases give the details of what exactly certain ambiguous claims are understood to mean. If the man claims to know how to read the Torah, shani yodeh likrot, it is not kiddushei ta'ut if he can lain properly and translate it into Aramaic using the translation of unklos. But if he claims to be a baal kore, shani kara'a, then he must know how to read all of Tanakh in an exacting manner, from a cloth, without printed vowels. It seems clear that these matters depend on what a phrase is typically understood to mean in any given time and place. And nowadays, it obviously means something very different when one claims to know how to read, or when he claims to be a baal kore. If someone claims to know how to learn, yodea lishnot, he must know how to read and understand Mishnah. If he claims to be an expert in Tanaitic literature, shani tana, he must know how to read and understand Mishnah, Midrashei Halacha, like the Sifra and the Sifri, and the Tosefta. If he claims to be a Talmud, this just means that he has to be able to answer basic questions in whatever area of Halacha he is studying. If he claims to be a chacham, then he has to be able to answer a deeper question, which requires consideration and analysis. If he claims to be a gibor, or an ashir, he does not need to be extraordinarily strong or rich. He only needs to be respected by his peers for his strength or for his wealth. We continue reading inside with a very interesting cases at the end of Halacha Hey. Al menat shani tzadik, afilu rasha gamur harezo mikudeshet misafek, shema hirher b'tshuva b'dato. Al menat shehu rasha, afilu tzadik gamur harezo mikudeshet misafek, shema hirher b'avodah zara b'dato. Shavon avodah zara gadolhu, umi sheyeharher l'avod b'libo yeaseh rasha. Shnamar pen yiftel levavchem, v'chatuv lema'an tefos et beit Yisrael bilibam. If a man is mekadesh a woman on condition that he is a tzaddik, then even if he is known to be a terrible rasha, she is safek mikudeshet, because it is possible that he had thoughts of tshuva at that moment, presumably meaning that he made a firm decision to do tshuva. If he was mekadesh her on condition that he is a rasha, then even if he is known to be a great tzaddik, she is safek mikudeshet, because it is possible that he decided at that moment to go worship avodah zarah. And we see from Sukkim in Devarim and in Yechezkel that even if one just decides to worship avodah zarah, this is enough to consider him a rasha. The Nosei Kelim addressed an interesting question here. We saw in Perek Dalet Halacha Vav that if a man is mekadesh a woman in front of Eidim Psulim, for example, an aide who is a rasha, then the woman is not mekudeshet. If it truly is possible that a known rasha can become a tzaddik just because he decided in his heart to do tshuva, then why do we not say in that case too that she is safek mekudeshet, because maybe the Eidim decided to do tshuva? The Lech HaMishnah explains that we don't concern ourselves in general with a possibility that a rasha decided to do tshuva. Only here, where the man says explicitly, Al menat she'ani tzadik, do we have reason to suspect that perhaps he really is a tzadik because he had a change of heart and plans to mend his ways. Others distinguish based on the rules which govern the validity of Eidim. Witnesses who are pasul because they are Rishaim do not become Eidim Ksherim just by deciding to do tshuva. Their thoughts must translate into a change of behavior, to the point where word spreads that these people have changed their ways and are now Eidim Ksherim. Halacha Vav. Hamekadesh et ha'isha v'amar, savur ha'iti shi kohenet, v'arehi levia, levia v'arehi kohenet, aniya v'arehi ashira, ashira v'arehi aniya. Harezo mikudeshet, mipnei shelo hitato, v'chein hi sh'amra, sivura hayiti shu kohen, v'arehu levi, levi v'arehu kohen, ashir v'arehu ani, ani v'arehu ashir, harezo mikudeshet, mipnei shelo hitato. If none of the statements we've seen in this perek was said by either side at the time of the Kiddushin, then neither side can claim Kiddushei ta'ut. Because, for example, he thought that she was rich, or a bat kohen, and this turns out not to be the case. Or she thought that he was rich, or a kohen, and this was a mistaken assumption. The principle at work here is the same one of dvarim shebalev einam dvarim, that we saw earlier. What about a situation in which something much more significant was hidden by one side from the other at the time of the marriage, a matter serious enough that it likely would have caused the other side to decide not to go through the kiddushin? For example, if one side has a chronic disease, a psychological condition, or a criminal record, and says nothing about it, this is a very serious question, and it is hard to draw general conclusions. Each case must be examined individually by a competent posek to determine if the deception qualifies as a ta'ut significant enough to annul the marriage entirely, or if we apply the principle of Dvarim Shebalev Einam Dvarim because no condition was made explicitly, and we therefore require a get in order to end the marriage. The next perek, Perek Tet, is a very long perek about cases of suffik which arise in the context of Kiddushin. Since Perek Chet was very short, we'll also learn the first few halachot of Perek Tet, so that we can learn as much of it as possible within our time constraints. Halacha Aleph. Hamekadesh Shtei Nashim, Sha'asur Lisa Shteihen Mishum Erva Ka'achat, Einan Mikudashot, Ketzad, Kegon Shekidesh Isha Uvita, O Shtei Achayot Ka'achat, Ein Achat Mehen Mikudashot. There is a rule in halacha that whenever two actions cannot be done one after the other, that is, the first causes the second to be ineffective, then even if they are done at the same time, both are ineffective. If a man were to be mekadesh a woman and then try to be mekadesh her sister, the second kiddushin would not be tofsim, because being married to two sisters is an erva. Same if he was Mekadesh a woman, and then tried to be Mekadesh her mother or her daughter. Therefore, by the halachic principle we mentioned before, if one is Mekadesh simultaneously two sisters, or a mother and daughter, then neither Kiddushin is valid. Halacha bet. Kidesh nashim rabot ke'achat. V'amar, harei kulchen mekudashot li. V'ayu behen shtei achayot, o isha uvita v'chayotzei behem. Ein achat mikula mekudashet. V'im amar lehen, haruya mikem leviya mekudashet li. Harei kulam mekudashot lo. Chutz min achayot, o isha uvita v'chayotzei behem. If one is Mekadesh a large number of women simultaneously, and among them are two sisters, or a mother and daughter, then none of the women is Mekudeshet. But if he says, not all of you are Mekudeshet to me, but rather, those of you who are fit to have marital relations with me are Mekudeshot to me, then all the women are Mekudeshot except the sisters, or the mother and daughter. The rest of the halacha describes a parallel case when one of the women in the group is either a non-Jew, or a shivcha k'nanit, or an erva to the man, like his daughter or sister, or any married woman. If he is mekadesh the entire group together, then none of them is mekudeshet. But if he says, those of you who are fit to have marital relations with me are mekudeshot to me, then all are mekudeshot to him, except for the non-Jew, the shivcha k'nanit, and the woman who is an erva to him. Halacha gimel. Amar l'shtei achayot, harei achat mehen mekudeshet li bazeh, v'natan lehen pruta, o shekiblata achat al yidei chaverta. V'chein haomer la'av, achat mibnotecha mekudeshet li, v'kibel ha'av kidusheha, kulan tzrichot get mimenu, v'asur lo lavo al achat mehen, mipnei shakidushin tofsin behen, v'af al pi sheyefshar lo lavo al achat mehen. Suppose a man says to two sisters, one of you is mekudeshet to me, and he gives a pruta to both of them, or to one of them on behalf of both. Or if he says to a father, one of your daughters is mekudeshet to me, and the father receives a kiddushin from him. One of the two women is his wife, and the other is his wife's sister, who is forbidden to him. Since we have no way to determine which is which, the husband may not proceed to the stage of nisuin with either one. Nonetheless, the kiddushin is valid with whichever of the two women it was done. We have no idea. And both women need a get from him in order to remarry. This case is called kiddushin sheinam misurim leviya, a kiddushin done in a manner which cannot possibly lead to nisuin and marital relations because of the amorphous manner in which it was done on one of two sisters. The Gemara records a machloket whether such a kiddushin is effective. Abaye believes that it is, and therefore both sisters need a get. And Rava holds that there is no kiddushin here at all. Even though we generally rule in accordance with Rava against Abaye, this is one of the six exceptional cases of Ya'al Kigam. The Kuf of Kigam stands for Kiddushin She'inam Misurim Leviya, in which Halacha follows Abaye. And therefore, the Rambam rules that both sisters need to receive a get. Halacha Dalet. Ha'oseh shaliach lekadesh lo isha plonit, v'alach v'kidsha lo, v'kidesh ha'meshaleach ba'atzmo li'ima o levita o la'achota, v'en yadua eizo mehenit katsha rishona, shtehen tzrichot get v'asurot alav. Suppose a man appoints a shaliach to be mekadesh a woman to him, and the shaliach is mekadesh to him a woman named Leah. But while the shaliach was out, the meshaleach was mekadesh himself Leah's mother, or daughter, or sister. Only whichever of the two acts of kiddushin occurred first is valid, not the second, due to the erva of marrying a mother and daughter or two sisters. But we have no way to know which kiddushin happened first, that of the shaliach or that of the mishaleach. And therefore the mishaleach is forbidden to both women and must give each one a get. He may not divorce one and marry the other, because the second may be his sister-in-law, who is forbidden even after divorce. Continuing in Halacha Dalet. V'chein isha she'asat shaliach l'kadsha v'halach v'kidsha v'kidsha hi yatzma la'acher v'ein yadua eize mehem kadam shnehem notnim la'get v'imratzu echad noten get v'echad kones v'med dvorim amurim b'rechokim aval im kidsha shaliach la'av v'kidsha hi yatzma la'ben o la'ach v'chayotze behen shnehem notnim get v'yasura l'shnehem. Suppose a woman appoints a shaliach to accept kiddushin for her, and he goes off and accepts kiddushin from Reuven. And in the meantime, she herself accepts kiddushin from another man, Shimon. A woman cannot have two husbands, so only the first of these two acts of kiddushin is valid, but we have no way to know which took place first. So she is forbidden to both Reuven and Shimon until one of them gives her a get. At that point, she may marry the other one if both of them wish to be married, or he too can give her a get. If it turns out that Reuven and Shimon are brothers or father and son, then in any event, she must receive a get from each of them and is forbidden to both forever, because each one may have been her brother-in-law, father-in-law, or stepson, and all of these relatives are forbidden as arayot even after divorce. Halacha Vav. Ha'omer lishlucho, tzei v'kadesh li'isha. Umeit hashaliach, ve'ino yodea im kidesh lo isha o lo kidesh, harei zo b'chezkat shekidesh, shechezkat hashaliach lasot shichuto, ve'ho'il ve'ein yadua eizo isha kidesh lo, harei ze asur b'chol isha, sheyesh la krovot shein erva ima, kigon isha sheyesh la bat, o em, o achot, v'chayotzei behem. Shim tomar yisa zo, shema ima kidesh lo shlucho, o achota, o bital, umutar b'isha she'ein la krovot kigon elu. Suppose a man appoints a shaliach to be mekadesh a woman to him, and the shaliach departs on his mission and then dies. We have no way to know if he was mekadesh a woman to the shaliach before he died, and if so, who? In this case, we apply the presumption, chazaka shaliach oseh shlichuto. It may be assumed that the shaliach indeed carried out his mission before he died. But since we have no idea of the identity of the woman he was mekadesh to the mishaleach is in a very tight spot. He may not marry any woman, let's call her Rachel, who has a living sister, mother, or daughter. Because if the shaliach was in fact mekadesh to the mishaleach, that sister, mother, or daughter, then Rachel herself is an erva of the mishaleach, his sister-in-law, mother-in-law, or stepdaughter. Therefore, the mishaleach is only allowed to marry a woman who has no living sister, mother, or daughter. The rest of the halacha qualifies this chumrah somewhat. If Rachel has a living sister, mother, or daughter, but this relative was married at the time that the shliach left on his mission, then even though she is divorced now, and even if she divorced before the shliach died, the mishaleach may still marry Rachel, as we are not concerned that the shaliach was mekadesh to the mishaleach, this relative of Rachel's. The assumption is that a shaliach is only mekadesh someone who was capable of receiving kiddushin at the time he was appointed as a shaliach. A simple question arises regarding this entire case. If the mishaleach wants to marry Rachel, why can't we allow it by just asking all of Rachel's relatives if the shaliach was mekadesh any of them? As Tosfot would point out, it must be that a woman is believed to say that the shaliach wasn't mekadesh her, for otherwise we would have a much bigger problem on our hands. No woman should be allowed to marry anyone at all, because maybe this woman was the one who the shaliach was mekadesh to the mishaleach. Tosfot conclude that of course a woman is believed that she was not mikudeshet to the shaliach, and our entire halacha is a rabbinic penalty, a knas on the mishaleach. But the Rambam mentions nothing about a knas, and seems to think that the issur of the mishaleach to marry anyone with close female relatives is fundamental. It may be that a woman is believed to say that the shaliach wasn't mikadesher only if she then acts on this claim by marrying someone else. Therefore, rules the Rama, if all of Rachel's relatives get married, then the mishaleach is indeed allowed to marry her. We'll stop here and pick up with Halacha Zayin when we learn the rest of Perek Tet. Thank you for joining me in learning today's Perek of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.